You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
I love that song, and what a blessing it is to be here back on campus at the wonderful Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and we are certainly thankful to God for the privilege that I have to serve, and the blessing is mine to all of the wonderful faculty and staff here, and to Dr. Patterson in his absence. We thank the Lord for our wonderful president. God is so good. I brought with me this morning something I want to show you before we look in the Word of God in Exodus 18. This is a rag that I've had for probably 20 years or more. And you can see this rag. It is really worn and torn. It's withering away. I've used it for all kinds of things. And, I want to keep it. This is my rag. And I've used it indoors. I've used it outdoors. I've used it to clean things, to wipe things off. I've just used it, and you can see it's just—it's faded. It's just about gone, almost useless. It's worn out. And do you know, in ministry, God's leaders can easily become worn out like a rag if we do not take care of ourselves in a proper way. This is basically normal wear and tear. I've had it. I've used it. It's my rag, and it's been in my hand, and I was the one, doing all the things that I needed to do with this rag. Normal wear and tear. But what I want to talk about this morning is abnormal wear and tear. Abnormal wear and tear. I want to invite you to the book of Exodus, chapter 18. It's a very familiar passage. The book of Exodus, chapter 18. And verse 17 and 18 reads as follows. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely what? Wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you." I love this passage. I've studied this passage for years. This is my life passage in pastoral ministry. Many of you will become pastors, and some of you right now are pastors. And if you are a leader in any capacity working with people, God's word is so crystal clear to us in this area of avoiding abnormal wear and tear. I spent 10 years here at Southwestern, a few years over at Criswell College, and I am so grateful and thankful to all of the professors that I've had throughout the years. And one of the things that I was taught in seminary at a very early on in my seminary Bible college days is to make sure as a leader we take care of ourselves. Amen? Now, I'm used to an amen or two, because if I don't get an amen or two, I think I'm not doing so good, and we'll keep you for 20 more minutes. So I know I'll get a whole lot of amens now. Amen. But listen, there's a couple of things I want to just look at in the context here between verses 13 and 23. Just a few areas of abnormal wear and tear. I want to first look at the cause of abnormal wear and tear. And when we look at the life of Moses, Moses was a dynamic, wonderful, brilliant leader. And you do know that there are many times in our leadership ministries that we can do the good things, but we can do them sometimes the wrong way. Amen? Now, let's look at this here. We see, first of all, that Moses was very reliable. He was a reliable leader. Verse 13, it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. Moses was a reliable, loving, caring leader who loved the people. He did not want them to have their disputes to go unsettled. As is indicated in verse 16, he talks about the people would come to him with the disputes. So Moses was reliable. And that's a good characteristic of a leader, is to be reliable, to be someone who you can be counted on. It's a blessing. He was reliable. Moses also was a hard worker, as we see in verse 13. He worked from morning until evening. It's right there in the text. It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. He wasn't lazy. One thing that bothers me, and I know it bothers you, and it bothers all of God's people, hopefully, is to have leaders who are lazy. Amen? Moses wasn't a lazy leader. Listen, he was reliable. He was a hard worker. He was working very hard from morning until evening, but he was a one-man show. A one-man show. I call this Jethroology. He tells him in verse 14, now when Moses, his father-in-law, saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit to judge and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Why are you doing this alone? Why are you doing it alone? You see, there's two extremes here that we have to avoid as leaders. We have to avoid being a one-man show, and we have to avoid, on the other end, being a no-show. It's very important to be reliable in ministry and to be a hard worker, but we cannot do it alone, because that is one cause of abnormal wear and tear, doing everything alone. We need some help. You can't be a no-show. Moses was reliable. Moses was a hard worker. You remember the story, perhaps, or perhaps you've heard the story before, of this man who was sleeping, and his wife went and woke him up on a Sunday morning. And she said, "Get up, get up, get up. It's time to go to church. We got about 30 minutes to get there." And he was just in bed, just there, you know, didn't want to get up. And he said, "Oh, I don't want to go today. I don't want to go today. Can you give me some reasons why I need to go?" She said, "Well, first of all, you know what? You got 30 minutes and worship begins. Second, we have to go with the saints and worship the Lord and fellowship with all of God's people. And we can't miss out on the service because, you know, that's where God wants us to be. And third, you are the pastor." You can't be a no-show. You got to be reliable. You have to be a hard worker. Moses also was spiritually in tune with God. He was in tune with God. Look at verse 15. Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God." Oh, those are good characteristics. Every leader, every Christian, every person who works in ministry, all of us under the sun, we need to have a walk with God, and we need to be spiritually minded. We need to walk with God and ask the Lord to empower us with His Spirit, especially if we're in ministry. But if we're in ministry, and if you just continue to go and to go and to go and to do and to do and to do and to be a one-man show, you'll have some casualties, potential casualties. Yeah, the cause was Moses was just doing this alone. Look at the potential casualties. Verse 17 and 18, again. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out." You're going to wear out. Listen, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but listen, maybe you are just working and working and working, and you take pride in being a workaholic, and we're doing it for God, and so we rationalize it. And you know what? Listen, I'm not knocking working for God. It's a wonderful thing. But God knows best. When you go morning to evening, over and over again, and you never have a break, you will wear out. You will fade away. You will wither like this rag. To wear out means to wither, to fade away. This is even faded. This is normal wear and tear. But wow, abnormal wear and tear. I mean, you've been in ministry for 2 years and you're burnt out. Ministry for 5 years and you're burnt out. Listen, the casualty would be yourself. You would fade away. You'll crumble. You will explode. And that's not a good thing. Abnormal wear and tear. You will become a time bomb, as one author writes. Burnout is real. But something else I love about this verse that many times we kind of skip over it, but a potential casualty would be yourself. And in fact, if you go down that road and you stay on that road, it will happen. But look at the verse there again, verse 18. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people. You know, that's very interesting to me. I love this verse. Not only did Jethro tell Moses that you're going to wear yourself out and fade away, but the very people who you are serving will wear out as well. Isn't that amazing? Moses, you're going to fade away, but the people are going to fade away. They're going to become so frustrated and angry and mad because you don't have the time to handle all of their disputes. The people will be adversely affected. Isn't that collateral damage? You know, my daughter, I have a daughter that's blessed with singing, and she loves to sing. And I took her this year to the American Idol tryouts. What an experience. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. That was an experience. We went to Houston to the tryouts of the American Idol, and it was an experience. I don't know if any of you ever have taken your child to the tryouts there, but my daughter, this was a lifetime thing she wanted to do, and okay, let's go ahead and go. She talked me into it. We went, got a hotel, and the day of the actual auditions came, and I mean, listen, we had a long line. They were wrapped around the highway. All of these people waiting to see a judge. And I mean, I sat there in the car. We had to get up at night. I didn't get a good night's sleep. We were up there in the car. We had to get out, walk a little ways. Then we had to wait another hour or so. You know what? The sun came up, I'm telling you, and that sun started just baking me. Now, I don't need a tan. I'm already tanned enough. I mean, it was extremely hot out there. And I mean, then we had to go inside the stadium and we had to wait another hour all for my daughter to see this one judge. And then they got up and it was a long line. I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of individuals. And I'm sitting there trying, praying, Lord, please let this go fast. And they went down there, waited all this time, and they got down there and she finally got to sing for 4 to 10 seconds, maybe 20 seconds in front of the judge. Now, what would have happened had she waited all that time and got there and the judge said, oh, shift's over. Come back tomorrow. You know what? This is kind of the picture that I see here. all of these people around and waiting to be counseled, waiting to be loved, waiting to be hugged, waiting to have their disputes settled, waiting to hear what God's law and God's statutes were. And Moses was willing and ready, and he was right there doing all of it. And you know what? It would wear the people out. And they would become a casualty in your churches, in your ministries. Don't become a casualty. Don't have the abnormal wear and tear. And you know what? People can become pretty mean when they don't get their way in the churches. Let me tell you. You know what? They can really change. Shelley is correct. Marshall Shelley, you will create, as a result of this abnormal wear and tear, some well-intentioned dragons. You will have what Wayne Oates called some troublesome people as a result of not having the ministry set up in a proper way where you can be freed up and delegate some responsibilities. They would wear out. The people would wear out. Moses would wear out. The cause of abnormal wear and tear is doing it yourself. Just, I can handle it all by myself. The casualties, you will be a casualty. Potentially the people around you will be a casualty, become casualties. But then what are the consequences of using others in ministry, as we see here? Well, first of all, you will only have to be able to handle the major things and not the minor things. Look at verse 22. Jethro pulls him to the side and he talks to him and he tells him, listen, whatever you do, just get a lot of people, get leaders of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens, and let them judge the people at all times. I love that. And let it be that every what? Major dispute. Y'all say major dispute. Every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. I love that. I love this verse. I love this verse. Man, this is right where all of us who are leaders need to be. And it makes no difference what environment you're in. It works in pastoral ministry. It works in many contexts. Moses, you know what? Leader, listen. You will only have to handle the major items. Now, I've experienced, let me tell you, I have experienced handling major and minor disputes. I am not perfect. Trust me. Listen, I've pastored now. I pastored 5 years in Brownwood, Texas, going on 20 years here in the Garland area. And I'm telling you, listen, and I still have a long way to go. And I can identify with trying to do everything all by myself. Well, I'm the one who know how to do it. You know what? I've been to seminary. I've been to Bible college. You know what? Listen, I've been in ministry for a while. I want it done a certain way, and I can do it. And I can handle the major and the minor things, you know, because, hey, minor things are minor things, right? But you know what? When folks get the fighting in church and fussing in church and they have disputes and you're trying to put out all those fires, let me tell you what, you're going to get burned. You'll get burned. You only have to handle the major matters, the major matters, and let them handle the minor things. I remember here a few months ago, it could have been several months ago, on a Sunday morning, we had about, 10 minutes before church service started. And our folks, many of our folks, they know, listen, on Sunday morning, the pastor doesn't have 100 things on his mind. He only has about 3 things on his mind: worshiping God, fellowshipping with the saints, and preaching the word of God. Those are the 3 things. So I had one individual that came up to me about 10 minutes before the service started, and pastor, you know what? This little boy is in the kitchen eating cake. And I'm trying to get to the sanctuary because I like to get in there and meet people before service starts. And this person, he's eating some cake, Pastor. He's eating, they're not supposed to be in there. I said, listen, I don't care about him eating cake. Give him all the cake. Give him some icing on top if you want. Somebody else can handle it. See, we have to teach our people and train our people. Listen, the cake and the icing and all those things, somebody else can handle that. That's not a major dispute. There have been times when there have been little disagreements with certain groups, you know. And listen, I say, listen, okay, you guys handle it. You know what the Word of God teaches. You know how we are church. We practice church discipline. If something's going on, you go to that individual by yourself. And then if that doesn't work, you take two with you. And then if that doesn't work, bring it before the church and let the leadership know. But you don't have to come to the pastor. You don't have to come to any other leaders. You go yourself and handle the dispute. If you implement some help, get you some help. But you know what? He qualifies this help. Look at verse 21. He says, furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men. Able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. You know what? You just can't put anybody in leadership. That will wear you out as well. You want abnormal wear and tear? You put the wrong people in leadership. And make sure that they have the abilities, the talent, the skill to serve in that capacity. Make sure their gifts are consistent with what they're doing. When I learned early on that, you know what, the Lord, I have to serve God in ministry if I'm going to survive. The way God has gifted me. When I was called to preach in the early 80s, I pastored full-time in 1987. I had a whole lot of friends and, you know, preacher friends. And I'm a, you know, young preacher, just a novice. I'm listening to all these tapes. And, man, I mean, we got all kinds of wonderful preachers in the world. And I remember going to the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brownwood, Texas. Man, I pastored there for 5 years. And that's my first full-time pastorate. And I went there. And, you know, I had all these different styles that I was listening to and all these preachers. And I preached one Sunday morning. I preached another Sunday morning. And, you know, the third Sunday morning or so, a little old lady in the church came up to me. And you know what? Sweet, sweet lady, you know, older lady, you know, one of the pillars in the church, came up to me after the service and she handed me a tape, Dr. Dusen. She gave me a tape. She said, I want you to listen to this. I took the tape home. And in that day, you know, I lived in the parsonage about 10 steps from the church I was at home. So I went home and got my tape recorder and I put my tape in the recorder. And it was a sermon by the great C.L. Franklin, Aretha Franklin's dad, you know, in the African-American community. He was a giant preacher. I mean, a gifted orator. And during the coda, what he would do is transition into the arrhythmic sound, better known in the African-American community as whooping. He was singing his sermon. And the Lord just, you know, didn't give me that. But I said, oh, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I mean, I'm open. And so I listened to that tape, and I listened to that tape, and I listened to it. And then the next Sunday, I went to church, and I said, you know what? I'm going to really, you know, maybe God has given me this. Maybe I'm able to do this. And I got up in the pulpit, and I started preaching. I started off just fine. And then toward the end, I started going into this rhythm. And I started singing my sermon. I slowed it way down. and I put a little tune to it. And then midway through, I tried to modulate. And I went up and I got caught between a tenor and a soprano. And I started screaming. I mean, it was really bad. And everybody, I looked out in the congregation. I was caught. I couldn't go up. I couldn't go down. And folks in the audience, they were just looking kind of weird. The little old lady that gave me the tape was fanning with her head down. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. And then after the sermon, God got me through it. Somehow after the sermon, we gave the benediction. The little lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Pastor, let me have my tape back." You do what God has called you to do, and you use your gifts and your abilities, and don't try to be like someone else. You preach the way God has led you to preach. You witness the way God has led you to witness, and you lead according to the Spirit of God, how God led you to lead. Have these men who are able. The tenor and tone is dealing with their lifestyle, their honesty, integrity, holiness. You just can't put anyone in leadership. The Bible says, you know what? Men of truth. Let me share this with you real fast, parenthetically, please. Listen. Story dealing with this people of truth and integrity and honesty and, you know, making sure that they're living for God. There was a pastor who went out witnessing to prostitutes and pimps, and, you know, they lived down in the hood. And this prostitute gave her life to Christ. The pastor had so many problems from the members in the church going down to the flats, witnessing to those people. Went down to the flats every weekend. And a prostitute gave her life to Christ. Man, listen, she joined the church. One Sunday she walked in church and walked down that long aisle and gave her life to Christ. And he talked to her in front of the congregation and said, "Listen, we're so thankful that you are now in the Lord." And she walked back to her seat and she stopped and said, "Pastor, one second." She came back and got the mic and said, "Listen, and if any of these men give you any trouble, let me know, because I know a whole lot of them." Make sure you get people who are living for the Lord. Another consequence of getting folks to help you, your ministry will last a little longer. It'll last a little longer. Look at verse 22. "Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they will themselves judge. So it will be easier for you. They will bear the burden with you." Verse 23. "If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure." You'll be able to stand. To stand. To endure. And what else? What's another consequence of letting others help you? Well, you know what? It'll free you to do something different. It'll free you. It'll give you a break maybe to spend time with your family. A break to maybe do something recreational. It'll give you a break to relax and to rest and not to experience the abnormal wear and tear. I learned this lesson. And you know what? Many of us as leaders, we can be so tightly wound. And we take theology home, and that's a good thing. And we take it to church, and we take it to Kroger, and we
take it everywhere we go, and 24 hours a day is Bible, 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 and that's not a bad thing. But sometimes our families want us to just be there and just be dad, be mom, not be a student for an hour, not during class. I'll close with this. I learned this lesson. And it involves my oldest daughter. You know, my kids grew up in the church. They grew up in the church. They grew up right there, all of my kids. And so they had a chance to see, you know, funerals and weddings and banquets, and I mean, their dad is involved in many things. It used to be a long time ago. Just, they saw a whole lot. And I never will forget my oldest daughter, when she was around 12 or 13, she came to me at home one day, and she was crying, just weeping and crying. And she said, "Dad, I don't want Jesus to come back. I'm afraid he's going to come back." And you know what I did? I went into my mode. I went into my mode, my theological mode. And I said, "Listen," and I went into the vein of eschatology. And I said, "Listen, sweetie, you don't have to worry about Jesus coming back. You're saved. You have given your life to Christ. And when Jesus comes back, everything's going to be all right. And if we are here, listen, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, caught up with him in the air. The dead in Christ will rise." I talked to her about her salvation. I talked to her about her accepting Christ. Because, listen, I tell you what, I it was just all in me. And she looked at me, my little 12-year-old looked and said, "Dad, that's not why I don't want him to come back." She said, "If he comes back now, I won't have a wedding. A wedding. I won't have a wedding." And I paused. And I got to think, you know, she's been in church. And she's seen all of these beautiful weddings. All of these wonderful looking brides. And I went right to the spiritual side when she was just thinking about her future and wanting to be married one day. Take time out and spend with your family. Do the major things and let someone else take care of the minor things. Love Jesus. Love God. Serve him. And make sure that if you are worn, that you're wearing out the right way. And not the wrong way. May God bless you. And may God keep you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.